You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone.
But I may be, you never. I might be, you never know. Good morning. Michael Francis McNamara, as I'm known to people that know me. Nah, just my family, actually, who know me as that. To my friends, I'm Mac. Nobody calls me Mike. Yeah, it's like, how do you know you're just talking to somebody you don't know? Hey, Mike. Hey, what? Like, who are you talking to? So, anyway, I want to talk about the parade. We had a government shutdown last night while you were sleeping, and then miraculously, it got unshut down. Yeah. Yeah. So, again, you know, Gunner bangs on California all the time, and I brought up something that I was thinking this morning. How do we get this enacted federally? How do we get it enacted federally so that if there's a shutdown, right, none of the elected officials, none of their staff, okay, and they don't get paid. And I would say this, if you fail to pass a budget, and we'll set a date. Budget's supposed to be passed at the start of the fiscal year. So how many days beyond the fiscal year do we give it before we shut their pay down? Yeah, good question. California has that. You don't pass a budget, you don't get paid. Huh, yeah. Now, California's got a lot of jacked up shit going on in it, but I like that. And the reason their staff have to, Mac, why would you punish their staff? Because they need to feel the pain. They need to feel the pain. And some of those, they're millionaires. But their staff's not millionaires. They going to start writing checks to their staff? Probably not. And I want their staffs to look at them and say, Senator, you got to compromise. Because you know what? Like, how did we govern all these years in this country without compromise? And now, you know, we're not voting for that. And to the point of, we'll go ahead with sequestration. Fine. We're okay with that. That's you living up to the oath that you took to the Constitution to support and defend it. You're doing neither. But you're okay because you're standing on principle. And you can go on Sean Hannity's show, or you can go on MSNBC, and you can justify to your constituents why you're doing this. Hey, look, I am so sick of their shit, honestly. Again, you don't have to, every time this happens, you're reminded of why Donald Trump got elected. And let me just tell you, that anger in the country isn't going away. And if the Democrats think that they're gonna get this we hate Trump rebound, you know, all you have to do is look at the immigration thing. He's offered amnesty to not 600,000 or 700,000 that signed up, to 1.8 million, to include everybody who didn't. Right? Chain migration is going to be along the lines that the Democrats supported in 2013. Okay, so all these issues are things that the Democrats have supported. They supported increased border protection, call it a wall, all that stuff. Right? They supported all of it. But now they can't. And if they don't think that the country, the people that didn't vote for them last time, in quote-unquote flyover country, if they don't think that they can tell the difference between up or down, they're crazy. So, anyway, good morning to you. As I said, we had to shut down. I want to talk about the parade a little bit, though. Yeah, and then the chef's going to come on today, and chef's going to be on in 52 minutes, and Valentine's Day is coming up, so chef's got some advice to you. One, if you're going to dine out, I got some advice for you on that, And then two, if you're gonna cook, he's gonna give you a guy friendly meal that you can cook at home and crush it. I talked to him about an hour ago. Yeah, he calls me in the middle of the night about an hour ago. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I had to hear your voice. I said, turn on a podcast, bro. What are you calling me? What are you calling me? So, yeah, he's got some ideas. And again, it's a great meal, but it's guy friendly in terms of you could do this. If you're an average cook, you could do this. Okay. Because what's the most significant part of Valentine's Day? Effort. Thought and effort. Okay? You could totally, in fact, you could set this dinner on fire and burn it. And guess what? You'll be in the front row. You dodged a bullet for another year. Because remember, thought and effort. It's not about merchandise. If it is about merchandise, you need to get rid of her. You need to kick that to the curb. Or you need to kick him to the curb. Okay, come on. Valentine's not supposed to be about merchandise. But if the thought and the effort translate into something that, you know, it's merchandise-centric, okay. But I think it should be some kind of couple thing, right? Yeah? Isn't that the theme? So we'll talk to him about that, and then, I failed to talk to the gunner about the parade, yesterday. And so, yeah. I also want to play this morning, and I'll try to do it in this hour, Chuck Hagel, little 10-minute interview where he's the preacher of gloom and doom, but it's good that we hear it, obviously, so it can be part of the debate. And then I asked the gunner about it. Asked the gunner about it. And, he kind of agreed with him. Cause he doesn't believe that Afghanistan has the human capital to do what just happened in Iraq. Don't have the people that want to fight. So, for what reasons? Another thing. Programming note, if you're not watching Chain of Command, you should watch it because it's interesting. You get a sense of what Iraq was like in the first few episodes, dealing the majority of it with Mosul, and now in Afghanistan, where they follow a Marine Task Force Southwest that went back to Afghanistan. And, you know, just the issues that you try to sort through with when you advise. So, if you haven't seen that, it's on the National Geographic channel called Chain of Command. Yeah. So, by all means, go ahead and check that out. So, we'll check the news of the day. And, yeah, that's Friday. That's what we got going today. Anyway, so good morning to you. Whitney Houston, it is Friday, sings the national anthem, my favorite rendition of the song. Good morning to you.
Try.
know I say this every Friday, but she smokes that damn thing. The Marine Corps hymn today, dedicated to the Marines of the 2nd Marine Division. So, big shout out to everybody. Got an email from somebody in the division, said, hey, don't forget about us here on the left coast. I said, you're on the east coast, bro. That's the right coast. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, all right. So this is dedicated to the 2nd Marine Division. Good morning.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
That's some good stuff. Seriously. That is some good stuff. Mattis, man, crushing it. And then, Lindsey Graham yesterday getting a secret decoder ring out. And saying, yeah, he said Budget Control Act and sequestration. But that's not what he meant. He meant Congress. Oh, Congress, oh, that. Yeah, so, no, it's good stuff, man. And let me tell you, he's just starting. He's just, you know, he's a year into that job. And so, you know, how long does it take you to get your feet on the ground? Takes a while. And so when he gets his feet on the ground, stand by. All right, let me check the, we'll check the current temperatures around Marineland. And then we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. And John Kelly was just getting it fed to him yesterday by the national media. You know what? And, you know, my friend's texting like, oh, Kelly's getting it. Like, it goes with the turf, man. It goes with the turf. But when you see smart people, let me give you everybody some life advice from Mac, from your old buddy Mac here at on All Marine Radio. Here's some life advice. When you see smart people and you don't understand something that they've done, most of the time there's something there that you don't know about. Yeah, because if you knew what they knew, you would have probably done the same thing. So that's some life advice. So before you go off on, oh, boy, those guys. A lot of times there's something that you don't know. And for them, worst of all, they can't tell you what you don't know. Okay? So, I have no idea. You know, and again, I think anybody who's listened to the program, who understands, let's see, my family's history with domestic violence, you know, that is, and if you saw the pictures of, you know, his ex-wife, and he had not one, but multiple ex-wives, I guess in interviews with the FBI, say that, yeah, he beat our ass. And then they had the pictures all through the media yesterday of his wife with her black eye. And she's saying that he did this. Now, you know, and then you see his reply to that, which was, I unequivocally deny it. It's not true. Like, what? How do you make sense of that? And the answer is, I don't think you do. And again, lest you open your mouth and assert your foot, go slow. And and assume that the people that are working there know what they're doing. Now, you know, you may come to find out that's not true. That they don't know what they're talking about. And so it would be. But in things like this, it's normally a pretty good, guess. That there's something they know that you don't. Now, again, I could be completely wrong, but, I mean, I know John Kelly. If John Kelly knew that, what was in those reports, would he simply look the other way and say, you know, yeah, we didn't think that was a big deal? Come on, man. Things that aren't a big deal are a big deal when you're in the White House. Okay? So, like, when you're just rolling around town and you're doing whatever you're doing, that's not a big, you know, yeah, that's not a big deal for me. Well, it would be if you were working in the White House, right? And he's not stupid to that. So, again, so the thing when you see guys like him, look, they've led discipline lives, and they know what breaks squelch. And so, again, I don't know exactly the full story on that thing, but I know Kelly. Kelly's nobody's fool. And again, the other thing about Kelly that's unique is he's been around Capitol Hill for a long time, you know, with two different tours at OLA. So that's like 6 years. Plus, he was Marfor Rez, and he moved the flag to Washington, D.C., so he could lobby and be more involved in it. So he's no stranger to any of the way that game gets played. So, he got annihilated yesterday. Cloudy in 34 in Quantico. It is partly sunny and 51 at Camp Lejeune. Pretty normal. Granbury, Texas, warming right up. Cloudy in 54. That'll make Mikey Musselman happy. Big Timber, Montana is in the midst of that cold air that's going to whoop it on here. 3 degrees above zero under cloudy skies. All right. So, Montana man, what's up? 29 Palms, sunny in 57, pretty normal. Camp Pendleton, cold. Sun in 40 degrees. Okinawa, getting warmer. Dark, cloudy, and 67. And in Marja, colder. Clear, dark, and 49. At the home of Auburn Radio, partly cloudy, 52 degrees. Winds are calm, so the wind chill sits right at 52. Don't laugh. Looking for a high of 72, as I said today. High of 66 tomorrow, and then 75 on Sunday. So it could be a pretty nice weekend, and then we get some rain next week. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. Headed for the top of the hour, the head chef going to join us. Gunner will be here. All your favorites. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Oh, jeez. All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. You know, you hear music, at least I do, and because I'm rolling around with Colleen, right? So I'm rolling around with my 14-year-old, and on occasion she gets to control the music. So you hear. You hear songs, and if you watch sports, you're probably familiar with kind of a bumper music that you've heard. And I'll tell you what it makes me whenever I hear it, it's what I think about. All right, and here it is. It's called Thunder by Imagine Dragons.
Thunder, hear the thunder, lightning and the thunder.
Yeah, what do I think about when I hear that? I think of, like, all the planning you do when you're getting ready to do operations, and then it starts happening, and then you're watching it, and you're seeing units move, and they're reporting, and then it all comes together. And then you're watching on a drone feed. It's awesome, right? You've been watching the bad guys, the bad stuff they do, just hate them, right? Killing little kids, killing innocent people, and not collateral damage, meaning to. Yeah, predators. And then it all comes together.
Feel the thunder.
And here's what they feel.
Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder. Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder.
You know how when you hit a golf ball really good, you don't even feel it?
Thunder, thunder.
Just feels awesome.
Thunder.
And you know you crushed it. Yeah, it's an awesome little bumper, that Thunder thing. Imagine Dragon. You might hear that again. I got to cut it up, though. I got to cut it up, get the song out of there and just get the bumper part of it. Yeah, Colleen. Who knew? All right, well, time to check the news. Enough of that. All right, as always, we go to Marine Corps Times, so we'll check out the early bird, and then, depending on the time, we'll go other places. And Chuck Hagel, we got to play him. As I said, shutdown started, shutdown ended. Story reported yesterday, in Afghanistan, there was a MARSOC team that was accused of killing civilians back in 2007. The Marine Corps just exonerated them. Yeah, pretty amazing. So you got that going for you. So that's in the news. So we reported on it yesterday, but check that out. I mean, and you know, sadly, it's, I don't know why it took so long for that to happen. In fact, it's probably worthy of having somebody on that, you know, is involved in it to tell the story. But, you know, those guys' lives are dragged through the streets. You know, I've had friends that have had that happen to them, you know. And then, you know, the media does what it does. Politicians say what they say. And, you know, none of them are involved in it. None of them pay the price for it. But if you're involved in one of those things, you do. And it's rough stuff. So, and again, the important thing is to get it right. That's the important thing. Get it right. And so, anyway, another story. Military bullies beware. New policy means marks on records. Well, here's my question. How did that ever not take place? How was that not ever the case? And this is the thing that irritates me. You know, when people break squelch, okay, and not once, you know, in terms of harassing behavior, offensive jokes, whatever, you know, but when people that are harassers, they don't do it once. That's the way they do it. If you don't crush them, if you don't pay for that, but you know what? Again, this is my point about the Navy, and I'm telling you, it's happened in the Marine Corps. I had a conversation with 2 weeks ago with the captain, and we were talking. He was talking, you know, he's kind of giving me a tough time about the old Corps. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Before your Marines go to formation, do your squad leaders stick their heads into their rooms to make sure they're squared away and look at their uniforms before they all walk down to formation? And he said, no. I said, so they see him at formation. No idea what the rooms look like. No idea the state of police or the barracks. None of that. Is that not their job? Well, yeah, it is their job. So when does it get done? How does it work for you? Because that is like timeless Marine Corps shit. You don't find out at formation that somebody's jacked up. They got corrected before they got near formation by somebody whose job it is. Yeah, well, I don't think we do that anymore. Well, you should. So it's just interesting, you know, the evolution. And again, the same people, okay, that don't get told no to, that don't like the rules enforced on them, okay, they're now in a position to enforce those rules. And these things, like, if you're consistently a bully and nobody papers that, what are we doing? And let me tell you, and it's like, oh, nobody wants to be a bad guy. Another company commander is asking me a question. He says, let me ask you, what would you do with this? And he said, hypothetical situation. I said, okay. He said, one of your, you have a good platoon sergeant, and he goes to a formal school, and he fails the inventory PFT. I said, what? Okay, not that he scored low, he fails it. I said, well, you don't have a choice. That's a formal school. That's a double signed fitness report. Well, you know, I'm like, what do you mean? Let me ask you this. Was there any mitigating circumstance? We just got back from deployment a month before. I said, was anybody family members in a hospital? Somebody get killed? You know, is there any reason for it? Well, no. Then you got it. You have to pay for that. You can't allow that. Oh, so the rules don't apply because he's nice? And so that's what I said. You know, these standards across the board, you have to uphold those. And again, like I said, so the article, the headline I'm looking at is about bullies and offensive jokes and things like that. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, known for his own use of colorful language to inspire the troops, said in a new Pentagon policy targeting offensive language and behavior should not be interpreted as a draconian end of military camaraderie. You have to adapt to the times, Mattis says. There's a rough good humor among soldiers. We know that. But I have never seen rough good humor countenance in any way frame something that's disgusting, repugnant, or something like that. So yesterday the DOD released DODI, which is an instruction, 1020.03, Harassment Prevention and Response in the Armed Forces. 23 pages of instructions sets a common framework to guide each of the services' policies to prevent all types of harassment, ranging from offensive jokes to sexual harassment. Yeah, come on. We need a DOD instruction to tell us what the hell to do. So anyway, but again, it's just when you're around that, if you have people to tolerate that, that's how bad shit happens. And you gotta be a rule enforcer. Gotta say no. Got to tell people, get off your ass. Yeah, Sergeant, you. I know formation's at 07, but you got to be here at 6:30. Drinking a cup of coffee or your Frappuccino, and you got to be in the barracks. When your guys get ready to come out, and you see somebody with a hole in their utilities, get your ass back in there and get those off. You know, that's all part of it. So, anyway, and the same thing goes with harassment and saying inappropriate things. Now, let me tell you, I mean, we go to Afghanistan, we're an infantry regiment, I mean, it's 99% guys, and we have an intel officer who, how do I say, not socially savvy, so we used to put up funny stuff, but it can't be sexist, right? Even when it's, you know, all guys, that ship has sailed, okay? So, you know, what do you think he throws into his little slide deck? Yeah, he throws some picture of a girl in a bikini or some, and there was a female Marine in there. And Dave Furness was regimental commander. He stops the brief. He says, hey, I don't ever want to see that shit on that screen again. Everybody understand? And you're sitting there just looking at the guy going, what an idiot. But they're out there. And if they don't get yoked up, then this is what you read. And again, when I say yoked up, it's that, This is if they're harassers, they don't do it once. But you have weak leaders, a lot of them, in my opinion now, that don't like to enforce the rules. And that's why the Navy's where it is, and that's why the Marine Corps is fighting what it's fighting. Look at some of the stuff Eric Smith put out. It's Marine Corps 101 discipline. Yeah. And again, why is that an issue? The Marines will give you anything they want. If you're standing outside their room, right? And how many as a squad leader might you have? Three or four that your guys live in? Start at the far one, don't shut the door until I stick my head in. Got it? Got it. And I'm at the same place every day on the third deck of the barracks. And you can find me if you have any questions. I'm there at 6:30, right? We roll the formation at 6:45, and I walk down the passageway, stick my head in. You shut your door, walk another 15 feet, stick my head in. He shuts his door. I look at your uniform. And then guess what, boys? Let's go to formation. We're unscrewed, ready to go to work.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. So what are we doing? Minimum effort? You wonder why shit's screwed up? To include this kind of stuff. And now those people who put in minimum effort, they're going to lay the wood to somebody. To include, I mean, can you imagine a captain asking me that? You know, I mean, he's a good guy. Well, what would you do in this situation? You write that guy a double-signed fitness report that he's got to answer for in his career. Now, if the rest of his career is stellar, it doesn't hurt him. He can say, well, you know, I just got back, had some personal issues going on. Well, you know, what were they? I didn't feel like PTN. The Army said no to purchasing the Marine Corps M27, opting instead to build its own rifle. Look, that's not a bad thing, because the track record the Army has with selection of weapons, and they're going through it with their pistol, they can find their own weapons. All right, and then we'll do top five, early bird. And then Chuck Hagel. I want to tee that up here real quick. Military Times, we asked you voted. 89% no said no to Trump's military parade. Yeah, it's not a democracy, boys and girls. Stand by. Get your marching boots on. 9 Abrams tanks fell into the hands of Iranian-backed militias during the anti-ISIS fight. 9 Iranian militias. U.S. issued military equipment to include as many as 9 M1A1 Abrams tanks fell into the hands of Iranian-backed militias during the turbulent period that swept Iraq as they battled the Islamic State, the Pentagon confirmed on Wednesday. Why is that significant? To be honest with you, I'm not sure that it is. State Department acknowledged the loss of the vehicles to the Popular Mobilization Forces, or PMF, which are primarily Shiite militias strongly connected to Iran but sanctioned by the Iraqi government. We have discovered incidents where some U.S.-originated equipment, including M1 Abrams tanks, came into the possession of certain PMF groups. This equipment was subsequently used by these groups in the fight against ISIS. Regardless, all of these tanks were recently turned over to Iraqi security forces. So, it has a good ending. We think. Well, you never know. Pentagon new rule bans offensive jokes and harassing behavior. And then 5, its official Army unveils brown beret, new patch for military advisors. The Army and their beret thing, man. Holy smokes. That must get confusing. All those berets, what do you do? Right? What do you do? What color do I wear? Navy headline, Command Master Chief facing court-martial committed suicide last week. He was facing court-martial for sex crime and fraternization charges, committed suicide last week, according to Navy officials. Also, Trump wants 24 new Super Hornets, reverses an Obama decision. Yeah. And see, again, Command Master Chief, court-martial, committed suicide. Do you think that, again, that this was the first time that this guy had done this? No, he's been doing it most of his life. A fired warship command master chief faced court-martials for sex crimes and fraternization charge, committed suicide last week. Command Master Chief Ronald Shasky II was found dead in Chesapeake, Virginia, in his home on January 31st, according to Naval Surface Force Atlantic. Officer Kelly Elliott of the Chesapeake Police Department confirmed Thursday that Shasky's death was a suicide. Shasky was relieved aboard the destroyer Mason in the spring of 2017 for misconduct. He was facing an April special court-martial on abusive sexual conduct, fraternization, and false official statement. There you go. Don't enforce the rules, man. The Super Hornet thing. Trump wants 24 new Super Hornets. Super Hornet was a big deal in the whole F-18 fiasco as we migrated our way to not being able to fly most of our aircraft in the Navy and the Marine Corps. A request in President Donald Trump's new defense budget proposal could add 24 Super Hornets to the Navy's air fleet and keep a Boeing plant in St. Louis alive, according to a report by Bloomberg News issued Thursday. The defense budget proposal for fiscal year 2019 is expected to be formally released on February 12th. If confirmed, the request for more Super Hornets could be the largest addition since 2012 and would reverse the Obama administration decision to stop buying the aircraft. The Trump administration has requested 14 Super Hornets. House and Senate appropriations have proposed adding 10 more, according to Bloomberg. The total of 24 jets happens to be the key number needed to keep Boeing's plant in St. Louis running. The plant's future was believed to be at risk after the Navy committed to adopting the Lockheed Martin F-35 to replace the F-18E and F-series of the Hornet. So there you have it. Interesting little tidbit. And see if there's any other Marine news. Neller, future Marine Corps could be an older, more experienced force. This is kind of interesting because the Marine Corps is always younger, less experienced, right? 60% under the age of 26, and we turn over 60% of the force every 36 months. So it's kind of interesting little tidbit that the Commandant says. That's the expectation that General Robert Neller sees as likely necessary as the Marine Corps structures to meet the growing cyber threats by peer competitors and staff with enough personnel with the skills and know-how to help the service keep that competitive edge. The Marine Corps is in the midst of a force modernization effort geared to shaping the service for future operating environments that will put even greater demands on the largely conventional fighting force. Quote, "It's really changing the way we see ourselves as a corps," Neller said during a town hall discussion with Navy and Coast Guard service chiefs at WEST 2018, a conference co-hosted by the Naval Institute and AFCA, Armed Forces, something, something, something. It's going to be the Marine Corps that's a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, because as much as we love our young Marines, we need a little bit older force because it takes longer to learn these skills. Interesting. The organization is looking as a whole at the way we do business, and it's going to change our culture. But everybody's going to be different. The fight's going to be different. So, interesting, interesting. Film at 11. General Neller. All right, I talked about Chuck Hagel. He did an interview a day or two ago, and in I want to say he sat down with Defense News. Was it Defense News? Give me one second here. I thought it was Defense News. Might be Business Insider. Business Insider, I didn't even know anything about that. But I'll tell you what. They do... They do a lot of interesting stuff, and it's kind of come out of nowhere. I did not really know. Yeah, here it is. Here's the interview with Chuck Hagel. Pretty interesting.
About his time in office, the geopolitical state of the world, and whether or not President Trump is helping or hurting America.
I think he's done great damage to the presidency. His leadership to our country. In his first year, has done everything to intentionally divide America.
The former secretary didn't mince words when discussing his views on the current occupant of the Oval Office.
You can have strong opinions, of course, and fight mightily for what you believe, but in the end, you've got to make government work. You have to compromise. You've got to sort it out. You can't continue to vilify the other side and call them names.
Do you believe President Trump, either his actions or his words, has made the world more dangerous?
Well, I don't think he has helped address the volatility and the danger in the world by his words and by his leadership.
And one of the foremost issues on Hagel's mind is North Korea.
With his tweets, my button's bigger than yours, and fire and fury, and we'll wipe you off the face of the earth, and so on. That says to me he doesn't understand the consequences of a nuclear exchange. There's no winner in that. There's no winner in that, and we must avoid that. We fortunately avoided that since World War II.
We hear a lot about a bloody nose strike, a strike that the U.S. was able to carry out on North Korea without triggering a nuclear or full-on war response. Do you believe that's a possibility?
Well, if you want to bet that if you're going to attack North Korea, however way you're going to do that, and think that Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans are not going to retaliate, it's a pretty big gamble. I wouldn't want to take that gamble. I wouldn't want to take that gamble. I know something about this business, and I know the kind of conventional capability North Korea has, too.
The secretary was unflinching in his comments on one of the most complicated issues facing Pentagon leaders today. In your mind, should transgender individuals be allowed to serve?
Yes.
People say there's a readiness crisis. People say transgender individuals will create issues inside units. Have you seen any evidence of
it? Never seen any evidence of it. I don't think there's any evidence there. I've never seen it in any way documented, or I've never heard any evidence of any evidence or seen facts.
Hagel also talked about his views on government dysfunction, particularly in light of January's three-day shutdown.
I hope we don't have to go through another one of these. I hope this short three-day shutdown period has taught a lesson to members of Congress who have it within their power, and the presidency, everybody who holds power has some responsibility, that this is not in the interest in any way for our country. In fact, it hurts our country. That needs to be recognized. You don't solve problems, you don't come to solutions or compromises over big issues by shutting governments down. There'll be political consequences, and there should be for people who advocate this. But it's dangerously irresponsible, and I'm hopeful that because of these 26 bipartisan members of the Senate, from the center-left, center-right, that they will continue to dominate the decision-making and make this government start to work again.
That government dysfunction comes with a cost. Over the past several years, military leaders have steadily ramped up criticism of the budget process, something Hagel agrees with.
When you're living day to day with continuing resolutions like we have been living the last few years, you can't plan. That means you introduce uncertainty into the system. And it's a terrible thing for our leaders. And it's a problem. And sure, this is, I think, all part of the end result. Now, I don't blame all of 2013. I don't blame all of this on continuing resolutions. There's more to it than that. But that certainly is there, and I think it is a factor.
But in the middle of all this dysfunction, in Hegel's eyes, the United States' position in the world has diminished, particularly in Asia, where Hegel feels the Trump administration withdrawing from the Trans-Pacific Partnership was a mistake.
China is everywhere. China lives there. China has influence in the Asia-Pacific. Of course they're filling that vacuum. Of course they are. The Russians are filling it to some extent, too. The Indians will fill that vacuum. Of course it affects how we're seeing in our relationships. I hear from leaders in all those countries, leaders from all over the world, meet with ambassadors all the time, and they have the same story. You are leaving a vacuum in these areas that the Chinese specifically are filling, and there will be no other way that this turns out.
Unsurprisingly, another region that dominates Hegel's thinking is the Middle East.
Look at the Middle East today. Saudi Arabia is in huge trouble. They've got this problem with their own GCC partner of Qatar. How does that help them? They've just undermined their own family cohesiveness over the last 70 years. They want to get more involved in Lebanon to try to drive out Hezbollah. They've got a fiasco going in Yemen. Iran actually gets stronger. You've got non-functioning governments in Libya, Yemen, essentially Syria, I mean, whatever the Russians, the Iranians tell him. Iraq is a balancing act between the U.S. interests and the Iranian interests. That's not going to change. You got Turkey where they are. You got the GCC split, which was once a unifying, important part of all this. Egypt sitting there in trouble with a president who's eliminating all of his potential opponents for his re-election. Then you got the Palestinian fiasco with the Jerusalem decision that the U.S. made. I don't know of a time when the Middle East has been more volatile or more dangerous.
So what's more of a concern for you then regionally? Is it North Korea, which you've been told consistently is the greatest threat to the United States? Or is the Middle East with all the instability going on there?
Well, the most significant and immediate threat would be North Korea if they had the kind of capability they claim they have to deliver a nuclear weapon onto the soil of the United States. I mean, that's an immediate threat. The Middle East is not an immediate threat to our homeland, to our security interests. Yes, it's a threat to everybody, but not the same immediate threat that North Korea presents.
Many of the challenges in the region can be summed up by the situations in Syria and Afghanistan, both of which Hegel is intimately familiar with.
Was it a mistake not to go into Syrian force and respond to Assad after the use of chemical weapons?
Well, we were going to do it, as you know. It was a decision made by the National Security Council, unanimous decision. I strongly favored it. At the last minute, the president decided not to do it. I think it was a mistake. I've said that. That got pulled off in this exercise of working with the Russians to get precursors to chemical weapons out of Syria, which we never got all of them, of course. Syria was never going to give them all up. But that wasn't a good resolution, I didn't think. Actually, the Russians came up with the idea after the president pulled down and revisited that idea after the president pulled down the attack in Syria. But also, I would say, at the time, the Russians were not there. I think it sent a very clear message to the Russians, very clear. When the Russians saw that action, that was clear to them that we were not going to be players in Syria and we were not going to be involved. And what they did is they took their little naval base, which was nothing, in Latakia province at Tartus, and used that to build up a huge air asset campaign troops on the ground, intelligence, Navy, and now they've got a significant set of sophisticated assets in Syria, and now really hold the cards.
Do you believe the U.S. will ever be able to leave Afghanistan, Iraq?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to. After 17 years in Afghanistan, the situation is worse than it's ever been. I think the American people, the Congress of the United States, are going to start asking some pretty hard questions. It's not because the American military failed, but the American military can't fix the problems in Afghanistan. Poppy production, corruption, tribal decisions, topography, all the uncontrollables that are there. You're going to fix that with the military. You can put 10,000, 20,000. We tried that. We had over 100,000 troops in there for a number of years, 17 years. So, yeah, we're going to leave at some point, sure.
Reporting from Washington for Defense News Weekly, I'm Aaron Mehta.
Aaron Mehta, you think he used to be a PAO type? That sounds like something right off Far East Network. But Hagel's interview, pretty interesting. And again, most of these, he doesn't have obviously good things to say about the president, but most of these issues, right, he dealt with and didn't make him better as the Secretary of Defense under the Obama administration. Virtually everyone got worse. So, again, I'm curious, you know, in our discussion yesterday with Mike about Afghanistan. You know, what do the guys that we know that have been there recently, have they made, you know, the strides necessary like they did in Iraq so that they can at least, with our support, assert their own control over their country? Or is that still something that they can't do? And let me tell you, if after all the effort that we put into that, if they simply can't do it, then I think we do need to leave. But let me just tell you, I don't think when guys like Joe Dunford and Jim Mattis, they're not con artists. They're mindful of the echo, the reverberating nature of history. And if they see that that thing isn't doable, they'll say it. No doubt in my mind. So, anyway, in them we trust. So, but I hear what the gunner's saying. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Valentine's Day with the chef. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out.